Welcome back here in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. It is Friday, and what a great sports week it has been. Red Sox opening day yesterday, and now the Final Four coming up this weekend. Let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line and find ourselves Jason Minnix. He's a radio host at ESPN Radio in San Antonio, which is the site of the Final Four this weekend. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing well, and then you just mentioned the Red Sox opening day. Yesterday we had the Astros and Rangers, and today it's wall-to-wall Final Four as we get ready for the weekend. All four teams are in San Antonio, and with the open practices today down in the Alamo Dome getting ready for the Saturday semifinal games. It's going to be a fun weekend.
You know, we've talked a lot about, I'm not always huge when they say, well, what does this do to the ratings? But I'm going to ask you, we've got the two Blue Bloods in Kansas and Villanova, and you've got the big Power 5 team in Michigan. You've got the underdog in Loyola Chicago. What's the fanfare like? What's the reception been to these teams down there?
You know, it's interesting because when you're in the host city, you want the Blue Bloods to come because, one, you know they're going to travel the way the Alamo Dome is configured. We had the last Final Four in San Antonio 10 years ago, and it was the last one they did in the arena configuration. So there was, I want to say, 40, 45,000 people in the Alamo Dome. And then they went to the layout with the stadium with basically the basketball court on the 50-yard line. And so, all right, you're bringing 70,000 people are going to be at the games tomorrow night, and then for the championship game on Monday, you want to have teams coming to your city that are going to travel. And when you get a Loyola Chicago, you wonder what their fan base is going to be like. And yet, you know, I know one guy that went there and he didn't even have a shirt. He had to go buy one. And so you wonder what it's going to be like. But so far, if you're walking up and down the Riverwalk, you see a lot of people in their brand new Loyola Chicago gear, and you've got the Sister Jean aspect of it. So, you know, there's certainly the fun team, the most interesting team in this tournament, if you will. Sister Jean has kind of become the face of the tournament, but I've questioned it as well. You know, I wonder what the ratings are going to be like. Are people going to tune in Saturday night for the early game, because they're in the early game, to see what they're doing? Is the curiosity level going to increase, or the casual fan saying, I don't know who that is, they're probably going to get beat, so I'm not even going to watch the early game. Yeah. So that part is going to be interesting to see what the ratings show. I think if you go back, you look like when Butler and George Mason has made runs, they've seen a bit of a dip. But also, where's the game at? Is it on CBS? Is it on TNT? Is it on TBS? You know, they've also kind of made it difficult to go find.
I guess I don't know how to view San Antonio. I think of San Antonio as a pretty big place, but then it always gets lumped in with these small and mid-markets. So economically, what's the impact of this event on the city? Is this something you've been waiting for a long time because it's a smaller place, or is it just, this is one of many cool things in San Antonio?
Well, we're one of the largest cities in the country, but we get the small market label because our TV market isn't huge. And that's because Austin is an hour away, and it's its own TV market. Corpus Christi is 2 hours away. It's its own TV market. The Valley is a couple hours away. It's its TV market. Houston's 3 hours away. It's its TV market. So when you look at TV market size, I think we're 32. But in reality, we're the seventh largest city in the country. But you take, like, Salt Lake City. You know, that TV market, they cover all of Utah and part of Nevada, but Salt Lake City isn't near the size of San Antonio. So, but we are a one pro sports team town with the San Antonio Spurs. Maybe we end up with a baseball team down the road or Major League Soccer, but you look at Austin, which is an hour away, the way that city is growing with all the tech stuff, you know, they probably will end up with a soccer team before San Antonio does. NFL, you've got this is a Cowboys town, and you've got the Houston Texans. I think both Bob McNair and Jerry Jones would fight San Antonio getting an NFL team. Everybody says Jerry Jones, but the Texans and Bob McNair would fight it more. So, but to answer your question, it's a huge event, and San Antonio is a great place for events like this. And every year that we've had Final Fours or the Valero Alamo Bowl every year, because the way our downtown is situated and close to the stadium, you get to your hotel and you can walk everywhere within a couple of minutes. It's a great venue for that. We obviously have great weather. So when you look at it from that standpoint, yeah, San Antonio wants this, and the economic boom is in the hundreds of millions of exposure, because for San Antonio, tourism is our number one industry.
Jason Minnix, radio host, ESPN Radio in San Antonio, with us here on The Huddle on a Friday, 101.3 ESPN. Now, are you guys doing anything with any of the events around the Final Four? Up here, we're excited because the senior All-Star game features a University of Vermont senior in Trayvell Haynes. Two UVM players are playing in this new three-on-three tournament, which is a conference-wide thing where there's a team representing each conference. So we're excited about some of the ancillary stuff. Are you guys doing anything there, or is it only the Final Four?
Well, it's a little bit of both. You know, on Thursday, last night, we had the slam dunk contest over at St. Mary's University, and you got the three-on-three deal that you just spoke of that's also happening out at St. Mary's University here in San Antonio. For my duties this weekend, it's basically Final Four. All day, you know, we're on the Riverwalk Friday, and we'll be on the Riverwalk all day Monday doing extended shows with one of the great things from our, you know, inside radio is all the celebrities that are in town. And, you know, when you think about, you know, like, you know, later tonight we're going to have Steve Smith on at 3:30. Then I'm going to MC an event with Steve Smith on the Riverwalk after, I think that's at 7:30 tonight. So after my show, you know, we're going to do this Q&A thing. Of course, Steve Smith from Michigan State did play for the Spurs, won a championship with the Spurs. So that'll be fun. So there's so many different things on the Riverwalk that we're a part of. And then, of course, you got the Music Fest going on. Tonight it's the country music deal with Jason Aldean. Saturday I won't go to the Music Fest because I'll be at the games, but it's Imagine Dragons. And then my daughter's very excited that Sunday night it's Maroon 5 and One Republic and Panic at the Disco. So, I mean, when you think about the Music Fest, and that's one of the cool things about an event like this is, like, the Music Fest is all free. It's all downtown. It's all free. You don't need a ticket. You got the Fan Fest going on, which, you know, is all the interactive stuff that is a fairly cheap ticket. I think it's $8 to get into the Fan Fest, where if you go back and you think about basically the same setup at the Super Bowl, where that ticket is $35. And so there's all kinds of things for fans to do that don't require going to the games. And you mentioned, like, some of the ancillary events. Those tickets are fairly cheap, $10-$15. So, but there's just so much to do. But for me personally, basically it's all Final Four duties on the Riverwalk. If I could have afforded it, I probably would have just got a hotel room down on the Riverwalk and just stayed down there, because it might have made my life a little bit easier.
Jason, we'll get you out of here on this. Let's transition to the NBA real quick. We're coming down to the end of the season. Up here, we're all pumped about the Celtics. Big win again. I don't know how they're doing it with everybody injured, but they win the other night, a buzzer beater in Utah, and they sweep a West Coast trip. The Spurs, it looks very different in the Western Conference than it's looked in the last few years. The Spurs are fighting for a playoff spot. We still don't know what's up with Kawhi Leonard still. What's going on in San Antonio?
You know, it's the most bizarre year that I can remember with the Spurs, and I've been covering this team since 1994, and, you know, I mean, this is more bizarre than when Bob Hill got fired in the middle of the season and Greg Popovich took over as head coach from his general manager position. And, you know, obviously they've been on this, you know, 19-year run of winning 50 games, which is certainly likely to not happen this year. And the question is, you know, are they going to make the playoffs? And, I don't remember a year where that was even a question, and it's all because of Kawhi Leonard. And quite frankly, you know, depending on who you talk to, you get a different answer. You know, if Kawhi is seriously hurt and can't go, then sure, you don't play. And Greg Popovich's history says he's never going to put a player's future at risk for a current season. And, you know, we always reference back to, you know, in 2000, after the Spurs won the championship in 1999, Tim Duncan had a meniscus tear. He could have played. He wanted to play, and Pop sat him down and said, I'm not risking your future for this playoff run. And they had a chance to go back-to-back. That's what Pop's always done. If player's ready on Tuesday, he's going to set him another game or two just to make sure he is ready. Spurs doctors have cleared Kawhi Leonard to play. Kawhi's doctors have not cleared him to play. He is in pain. I had one insider tell me that it's mental with Kawhi. He's having pain while going through rehab, and he's never had an injury like this, so he doesn't understand that rehab hurts. He just flat out doesn't trust his leg right now, and if he doesn't trust it, looking at a Supermax contract and everything else that's coming down the road, he for whatever reason, isn't willing to risk it. I think what really hurts Kawhi, and where a lot of Spurs fans have kind of turned on him and are mad at him, is he doesn't talk. Now, he doesn't talk by nature, but tell us what you're going through. Tell us what kind of, tell us your side of the story, because right now we're not hearing from you, Kawhi, and until we do, you look like a selfish dude right now that's looking at your future contract and putting that ahead of your team. Did you have Ginobili say what he said, Manu said a week ago, that, you know, they haven't seen Kawhi. He hasn't been around. And when you're going through rehab, you're not practicing, but, you know, you have to take it on yourself to be a part of the group, and Kawhi hasn't done that. Mm. Then Tony Parker's like, yeah, I'm back, and, you know, my injury was 100 times worse than Kawhi's. There's just some things that are just very un-Spurs-like being said by two veteran Spurs, and Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili, that certainly make it look like it's all Kawhi. Dude, you got to get back there on the floor and help this team play. And you know, quite frankly, if they get a first-round matchup with Golden State without Steph Curry and Kawhi is able to come back, they have a chance. And I think the reason he hasn't been shut down is there's still a chance that he can come back and play. I doubt it at this point, but that door is still open because the Spurs have not shut him down for the season.
Very interesting year in San Antonio. Interesting weekend in San Antonio. Final Four is tomorrow. Jason Minnix, ESPN Radio in San Antonio. Jason, enjoy the games. Enjoy the Final Four, all the pageantry, and then the title game on Monday. We'll talk to you again.
Appreciate it, Brady. Thank you, man.